Good morning. How's everyone today? It's good to see you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. No better place to be than this morning. It's good because God is here. It's good because you're here and we can fellowship together. Please, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 10. But before I read from verse 10, I will need my reading. The hazards of getting older. I remember when I could just jump up here and I was ready, didn't need reading glasses, a lot of energy. But alas, those days are gone. We're reading from verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Caesarian, bond and free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and he is, and be as thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your service this morning that we have held according to your commandment. We want to thank you for the freedom to still be in a country where we can meet together and declare the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, without fear. We thank you for the opportunity to share this word and to pour over it, and hopefully that we all will get and glean something that will allow us to become better servants and better children of you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I read this passage because this is the passage that started me on my road to this message. We will come back to it on occasion, but there is a lot more scripture to come. Now, what brought, as I read this passage, and I've read it over many, many times, we are being told by the Apostle Paul, and he uses the term put on, which we will later on get a little bit better definition, but we're told to put on certain characteristics. And I kind of, to make it go by easier, I kind of made a list of them. In verse 11, We are told to put on and be non-discriminatory, no prejudice. We are told to put on as the elect of God to be holy. We're reminded that we're beloved. We talked about being a merciful person, kindness, meekness, forgiving, holiness, mercifulness, humbleness, long-suffering or patience, loving, caring, and the peace of God. And I thought to myself, Paul is telling us to put on all these things. To put them on, okay? And when I look at the person that he is describing, work with me now. When I look at the person that he is describing, who has all these attributes, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Paul is telling us to be like Jesus. Telling us to have Christ-like qualities. Actually, when we think about it scripturally, this is doctrine. This is something that Jesus preached, other apostles preached, Peter preached, James preached it. And just to look at some of the verses, if you look at the Beatitudes in Matthew, Jesus is describing, what were the terms he used? Humble, poor in spirit, meek, righteous, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. Jesus wants us to be like him. In Romans, if you turn to chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, very familiar verse, but I want to just point it out to you, some of the things that he's saying. In the first two verses, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, and we're going to get to that also, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And if you jump down to verse 9, he again Apostle Paul starts giving descriptions, characteristics, things that we need to have. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient, continuing in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the faiths, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but consent of men of low states. Be not wise in your own conceits. Paul is telling the Romans at this time, put on the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Galatians 5 and 22, Paul again describes the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Ephesians 4, 23 and 32. I think I better turn to those so I don't mess it up. Ephesians 23 reads, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11, we read the terms love, fellowship, mercy, like-mindedness, humbleness. And then Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop there and just digress a little bit on that particular chapter, because my beloved brother Audrey read that, the rest of that this morning, and he talked about, you know, Philippians, about Christ being the servant. But what gets lost to me, and I think a lot of us don't get it, is that that passage starts off in verse 5, you know, where he describes, you know, Christ, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be with God. I mean, the first thing that verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. So Paul was not necessarily writing this to extol the Lord Jesus Christ. He did by saying all of the wonderful things that Christ did. He did take upon himself the form of a servant. He was humble. He did humble himself unto death, even the death of the cross. And God glorified him for that. But I think the point of this passage is Paul is telling us that we need to be like-minded. We need to be like Christ. And that's just to mention a few. I mean, if you're a Bible student, you can find many, many passages where the writer is asking us as Christians to take on the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Interesting, though, because many of these same passages, these same scriptures are connected to or are combined with some scriptures that warn us about non-Christ-like behavior. It warns us about not being worldly or being fleshly. These are things that we should avoid. If we go back to Colossians, our original passage, if you move up to verse 3, it says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, from fornication, uncleanness, incoordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, covetousness, which is idolatry, for such things sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of obedience, in that which ye also walked at some time when ye lived with them. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Ephesians 4, 25 to 31. And I'm just trying to hammer these homes. These homes. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even God, as God's sake has forgiven you. And the last thing, if you want to look at Galatians chapter 5, and this is, I know I'm being a little redundant, but I want to make sure that you understand that these are not my words. These are the words of God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulsions, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what we see, and many of these writings comes from the Apostle Paul, is that Scripture is urging us to put on certain positive Christ-like characteristics and to take away or put off certain worldly, fleshly, unchristian behavior. It makes sense. Now, while I have you here, I found it very interesting when I was doing my research, you know, because a lot of these passages use the term put off and put on, okay? And what I found out, much to my surprise, is that there are different words for put. Because when it says put on, that word literally means to slide or sink into. So when you put on, you know, it's like you slide into a comfortable chair with a nice warm blanket. And when you put it on and it's nice and warm and comfortable, you want to stay there. You want to keep those characteristics. It's good to be like Christ. It's good to be. So we want to slide into that. Whereas when it says put off, entirely different word, entirely different Greek word. The put on is anaduos. Put off is opechiamata, which means to cast away for good. Cast away for good. So the thought that we're getting here is now, as we look at our Christ-like attributes that Paul is talking about, we want to slide into them, get comfortable, get used to them, use them, let them become habits, and develop them as we develop our Christian lives. On the other hand, when he says put off, he says get rid of it. Throw it away. We don't want any parts of that. Now, there's a very technical biblical term for this. It's called sanctification. This is what we're really talking about, is the process of sanctification. But I'm a simple man. And I was laughing when I was thinking, because I've never heard this term. I grew up in America. I came here when I was 2. And when I went to school, I took mathematics or math. You know, but sometimes I'm talking to my brothers from the Caribbean, and they say maths. I was watching the English movie, the same thing. They say maths. So we're doing maths today. We're doing addition and subtraction. Addition and subtraction. What we are trying to do is put on the things of Christ, all of those things that we have been reading about and discussing, gentleness, meekness. We know, we are a Bible-studying church. We know the behaviors that are expected of us. And we need to put that on so that we can be more like Christ. And we know the bad behaviors, because we see them every day. If they're not at home, we see them on the street. We see them on the TV. We see them in the books. We know what we should not be doing. And we, as Christians, should be adding and subtracting. We should be doing our math. We should be adding to ourselves the things of Christ, the characteristics of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we should be pushing away and cutting off and paring away the things that are not Christ-like, the things that are worldly, and the things that are fleshly. So we want to focus on that process today, the adding of Christian attitudes, actions, and behaviors, and ways of thinking, and the subtraction of worldly, unchristlike behavior and attitudes and actions and thinking. So, this process of sanctification and this adding and subtraction is something that we could spend hours. If they gave me the rest of January to speak on this, I could speak easily and never repeat myself. But there are four aspects that I want to point out to you this morning before I sit down that I want you to take into consideration and think about how we go about getting this process of adding and subtracting. Number one, this process is overseen by the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, and if you could put that up on the screen, please, John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So this process of adding and subtracting is a process that is overseen by the Holy Spirit. Now, to my educational people, the people who know education, this is a cooperative education process. And what I mean by that is that the Holy Spirit is not going to carve you up and make you into what you're supposed to be. He is going to teach, he is going to lead, he is going to expose, he is going to push you, but you have to be accessible to the Holy Spirit. You have to want this process of adding and subtraction to take place. Number one, we're commanded to by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Apostle Paul. Number two, because we love Christ and we want to be like him, this is how we go about being like him. We make ourselves accessible to the workings of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Number one, you read your Bible. It's the Word of God. He teaches us. You read your Bible. Number two, you pray. You pray and understand that praying is the first step to you having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying is your first step to having a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can answer your prayer and communicate back and forth with you. And the last thing that I want to point out is that you need to really just be aware of the process. Don't go through life, la, 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 today's a day and I'm going to work and I'm going to school and I'm going to play basketball and I'm going to do my job and I'm going to go home tonight and watch the football game or whatever you do in your daily life. If you just focus on that, you lose your mats. There's no addition or subtraction. You have to be aware of looking for opportunities as a Christian for the times when Christ is saying to you or the Holy Spirit is saying to you, yeah, know that? That's a subtraction right there. You see that thing right there? You need to subtract that one from your life. It could be an activity, could be a friend, it could be a environment. But the Holy Spirit will let you know when something's going on that's not right. And if you're aware of the process and you're looking for the process, he'll say, no, 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 no. And at the same time, he will tell you, you know, you ought to do this. You should do that. You know, you know how many times, and I know I pound you on this, and that's okay. I'm not apologetic about it. We need more workers in Awana and young people and the basketball. We need activity. You don't have to come and be a teacher, but we need presence. And I know for some of you that call has been there. And you say, well, maybe I should. And that's the Holy Spirit telling you, you should. And the next step for you to do is to do it. Now, we can all find reasons and excuses not to do it. But you need to be aware. Let this mind be in you. Be aware. Let this mind be in you that you can be like Christ. You know, the last part of verse 2 of Romans 12, and I'll read that to you because it's a promise. It's a promise if you take the right steps. But be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or turn out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how you work out the will of God in your life. The second one, this process of adding and subtracting is a lifelong process. The Bible tells us that sanctification does not come to full fruition until one of two things happen. One, we die, or Christ comes back. Until that happens, we should be engaged in the process of adding and subtracting. This is a message to some of my older brothers and sisters. Don't think you've got it made. Some of us think we have reached the pinnacle of Christianity. No, absolutely not. You should still be learning. You should still be adding, and you should still be subtracting, because I know in your life, and in my life, there are things still to be added and things still to be subtracted. Philippians 3:12-14. Let's take a look at that. Philippians 3:12-14. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote a vast majority of the New Testament. And look what Paul says. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ. This is Paul writing that. 14, please. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't care how old you are. There are things you can learn, and there are things you need to stay away from. This is also a message to our young people, because it is a lifelong process. So that means if you are young in Christ, or if you're just young and you're getting ready as a Christian, you have to understand that this process is going to be going on for the rest of your life. You need to understand that you have a lot of work to do. And to those older folks, we need to understand that they do have a lot of work to do, and they need our support, and they need our love, and they need our prayers. And they don't need to get pounded on the head sometimes when they do something wrong. They need to be pulled to the side and given a hug and say, God loves you and I love you, but you were wrong. We need to teach. Sincere milk of the word develops into the ability to eat fruit of the spirit and eventually take on a steak, which is the solid word of God. It doesn't happen overnight. Young people, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't let it get you down. There will be defeats. There will be falling down. But the one thing I can tell you is that there is nothing that you could ever do that will stop Jesus from loving you and wanting to be with you and wanting to continue to be your Savior.
So pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get back on the road. And third, because this is a lifelong process, it's a daily process. It's something that you have to do every single day. You know, people talk about the daily bread. You know daily bread? That little thing, they give you like a little verse to read, and then they give you a caption, and you can cover it in 5 minutes. You know, some Christians turn up their nose at that, because you're not getting into the Word. You're not poring over the Word and dissecting and looking up the Latin meanings. If you do it every day, if you do it every day, God will use His Word to influence your life. He needs the accessibility into your life. Nothing, and I'm not criticizing those who study the Bible more, because that's what I do. But I'm retired. I don't have to go to school and do homework. I don't have to run track. I don't have to do chores around my house. Well, I do, but I have time to do them now. But the point is that I'm making is that daily you grind it out. No one becomes a tremendous and strong Christian man overnight, or woman overnight. It does not happen. Just like a little baby doesn't all of a sudden grow up and become a man. You have to take your first steps, you have to fall down, you have to get up, you have to study the Word, you have to learn, and you have to keep your eye open. Because I will tell you this, there is a war in this world where the devil does not want you to study the Word of God. He doesn't want you to think about the things of God. And he will put all kinds of things in your way. He will put benign things in your way, things that you don't think are necessarily bad. But they are bad if they prevent you from studying and working on your Christian life on a daily basis. So one of the things that I'm preaching to you is, and I've used this term before, is your awareness of the process. You need to be aware that mats is going on. Sanctification is happening. The Holy Spirit is the most unlazy person I know. He does not stop working. He has a job to do. He's been given a job to do to help each and every one of us grow in Christ and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's working at 24/7. And you need to pay attention to that. I'm getting down to the end, and I do want to give a little gospel. So if you want to look at some scriptures for the daily process, Luke 9:23, Acts 2 and 46, Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. But the last part is that if all this is going on, there should be a, listen to me now, there should be a noticeable change. And the first person that should notice should be you, because the change is occurring in your life. You should recognize and give yourself a pat on the back when you do something that the Holy Spirit has led you to do. Say, thank you, Jesus. And when you avoid something that you should not have done, say, thank you, Jesus. And as you move through that process, others will see the change. One of the blessings that I have had as an elder in the time that I have been here is to see the growth in people in this assembly. Again, we are not perfect, but I see growth in this assembly. I see growth in our young people, and I see growth in some of our older people. Praise be to God. When you're working on your mats, the change will come. Now, to summarize, you want to work on your mats.
if you're going to be a good Christian.
You want to work with the Holy Spirit, get involved in the process, and do your best to live a Christian life. Now, all of the activities that I'm talking about, the mats, are talking about adding and subtracting things to your Christian life. You cannot do that until you first obtain a Christian life. If you are an unbeliever and you say, well, I want to be like Jesus, the first thing you have to do is let Jesus into your heart. The first thing you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is so simple, because it's easy to do. Number one, you need to recognize that you need a Savior. We're all sinners. Number two, you need to recognize that the Savior that you need is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came and died for your sins. Number three, you need to ask him to come into your life. Just ask him. You don't have to come up here and tell me about it. You don't have to jump up and down. You just have to, in your mind, because Christ is there, you say to yourself, I need a Savior. Jesus is the one that I need. Lord Jesus, won't you come into my life? And if you could ever say that and mean it, I have to tell you, the deed is done. You're saved already. And then you can start with your adding and subtracting and doing your maths. And trust me, the Holy Spirit, because when you say that, the Holy Spirit comes in. And once he's in, he's not leaving. You know that verse, I will never leave you nor forsake you? That's what Jesus was talking about. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes into you, he's there. And he's not going anyplace. And he's going to lead you and teach you and help you to do your math, subtraction, so that when you get to heaven, you'll have 100% for a math score, because you've done everything that you can. So, saints, I want to thank you for your attention. I didn't mean for this to be a New Year's message, although some can take it like that. As a teacher, a former teacher, I can tell you that, in a sense, the Apostle Paul and myself have given you a homework assignment for the year. You are to do your maths, your additions, and your subtractions, and be aware of it. And may the good Lord bless you and keep you in this upcoming year. Thank you for your attention. Let us close in prayer. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that we can count on your Holy Spirit to be with us and to protect us. We would pray that this would not fall on deaf ears, that we would not be hearers of the word, but doers also, that we would join in the process of sanctification, the process of addition and subtraction, of becoming more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, to God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.